Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Have you ever forgotten to call somebody that you thought you were going to call because you told yourself, I'll remember to call them, but you didn't write it down? If things are important to us, we should write them down. If things are things that we want to return to and come back to and look over again and again, we should write them down. If there are things that we want to remember in our lives, we should write them down. If there are things we want to accomplish in life, we should write them down. It is the beginning of a fresh new year, and many of you have jumped into this year with all kinds of new goals that you want to go after. You've jumped into this new year with all kinds of accomplishments or new habits or new intentions that you are setting for your year. Do you know that your likelihood of accomplishing said goal, habit, dream, intention for your year increases by more than 40% if you simply write it down? There is power in writing down the things that God is speaking to you. That if you have something that you say, I want to see this thing become a reality in my life. I want this dream to move out of the dream space of my life and into the reality space of my life. Your likelihood to actually see that thing come to pass increases by 40% when you write it down. When I write something down, it moves it from the intangible place of my internal world to the tangible place of the external world. It moves it from theoretical into concrete. Now it is not just something buried on the inside of me. It is not just something buried on my heart. It is something written in my life, written into time and space. It becomes part of this present day moment and part of this reality. And now I have to stare that thing down and decide, am I going to accomplish the thing that I have had spoken to me? Am I going to accomplish the thing that God has been revealing to me in my life? Or am I going to let it sit on the page? There is power in writing it down. In Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, without revelation, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. Proverbs 29, 18, without revelation, the people run wild. Can I get it back? But one who follows divine instruction will be happy. The interesting thing about this verse is that if you read it in different versions of the Bible, and I highly recommend often reading it in many different versions of the Bible, there are several of the words that get interchanged. Some of them say, without vision, the people will perish. Without prophetic revelation, without instruction from heaven, the people run without restraint. The people run wild. The people will perish. These words become interchangeable because they're trying to get to the heart of the Hebrew word. And the Hebrew language is often very multifaceted. It's a language where words carry many meanings all at the same time. And so when you read across the breadth of different versions of the scripture, you get a different portions of it coming to the surface as they grapple with the heart of the meaning, that there is a vision from heaven. There is a revelation from heaven that God has spoken over your life. And when that thing is not there, when that thing is not directing your life, there is a sense of running wild. There is a sense of perishing in the moment. Though you are living, you are still perishing. There is a sense of weariness and of heaviness. But what's interesting is that across all of the different translations that says that with it, they that when they have it, they will be happy or joyful. Happy and joyful. There is very little variation in happy and in joyful. In happy and in joyful. I want to challenge this idea today that often we think that the idea of my happiness, the idea of my joy, the idea of the place where I'm going to feel filled in life, where I'm going to feel joyful and gleeful in life is on the other side of throwing off all of my restraint. That it's on the other side of if I could just get a little bit more space in my life, if I could just get a little bit more freedom or a little bit more lack of restraint, if I could throw off the things that are squeezing in on me, if I could throw off the things that are producing order and structure in my life, then on the other side of that is where my joy would truly be. I would feel so much joy, so much more joy if I didn't have all of this pressing in on me. But Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is telling us, no. The one who runs after the Lord's instruction, the one who runs after the place where his order comes into place, the one who runs after the restraints that are given by vision, it's that restraint that actually leads you into the place of joy. It's that restraint that actually leads you into the place of happiness. It's not when I throw off everything that's squeezing in. It's not when I throw off everything that I think that is causing me heaviness or is limiting my life. In fact, it is the exact opposite of that. The one who runs wild, the one who throws off restraint, is the one who is perishing, is the one who is not experiencing joy and life more abundantly. Can I tell you that vision will cause restraint to come into your life? Vision will narrow your path. Wide is the way of the ones who wander, but narrow is the path of those who seek him. There is a vision in your life that starts eliminating things. It starts cutting back things. It starts pruning away things. And I believe that there is so much weariness. There is so much loneliness. There is so much depressive movement in our society because we have run after throwing off all kind of restraint. And the throwing off of restraint is leaving you void and empty because it is a symptom of a life lived without vision over its life. But when vision comes into your life, when God's prophetic revelation over your life comes into your life, it comes with restraint that all of a sudden says, I can't live every kind of way that I used to live. I can't walk every kind of place that I used to walk. Yes, it may be available to me, but is it profitable for moving me towards the vision that God has for me? All of a sudden, my money isn't just about sending everywhere. It's about the vision that God has spoken over my life. All of a sudden, finding a partner isn't just about somebody that makes me feel good and makes sure I'm not lonely. It's about finding a partner for the vision that God has spoken over my life. All of a sudden, my work isn't just about a paycheck to come in and me to complain about every week. It's about the vision that God has spoken over my life. So no, I can't just hang out with everybody who wants to hang out. And no, I can't just sign up for every loan that there is or spend my money on everything that there might be. No, I can't just go work at anything or go to any job that there is because I have a vision over my life. And I promise you, when you settle into that vision, when you wrap your arms around those restraints, when you say, I've decided to live my life inside the confinement of the vision, on the other side of that is a joy like you have not experienced. On the other side of that is a happiness like you have not experienced, because inside of his vision is constraint, and inside of his constraint is life and life more abundantly. That's why you got to write it down. You have to write down the vision. And then he says, write it down and make it plain. Make it clear. The only thing worse than when I forget to write myself a note is when I write myself a confusing note. I don't know if you've ever written yourself a confusing note. This is like my favorite pastime game to play with myself, apparently. I will get in my notebook and I'll be like, beige left J. Now, what did I mean by that? Three times cold side F. What? What kind of mystery game? My notes will be like, talk to Andres Green. And I'm like, does this mean anything to you? Because it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm playing some kind of weird matching guessing game with myself of, can I figure out tomorrow what I wrote yesterday down in a note of confusion? There is nothing worse than writing down a confusing note. When God comes, he says, write down the vision and make it plain. Make it clear. Do not make it confusing. Do not make it guessworthy. Do not make it unsuitable for other people to read. Don't be writing it in your chicken scratch handwriting that nobody else can read or interpret but you. Make it clear. Make it plain. Make it able to be read. See, confusion in a vision causes confusion in the people. Confusion in a vision creates delay. Confusion in a vision creates a stalling. When we could be moving forward, we're stuck because we're not sure which way we're supposed to go. It's like coming up to a roundabout in a city where people were not trained how to drive in roundabouts. I had the incredible fortune of living in a country where roundabouts were part of the regular spread of the land. We have since started installing roundabouts here in our region. Now, here is what I will tell you. Roundabouts are a superior traffic flow to stop signs when they work. But they are highly dependent on everyone understanding the system. On everyone being clear on the direction of how we move in this roundabout. And since we've only started putting roundabouts in our area over the last maybe 5 years, I'm gonna take a broad guess and say the majority of this room has been driving for more than 5 years, which means how to drive in a roundabout was not part of your driver's ed training in 1978. And it shows. Because it's unclear. It's unclear who's supposed to be going when. It's unclear who's supposed to be yielding to who. It's unclear what directions you're giving. And a lot of us are living our lives this way because the vision that's been spoken over our lives is unclear. The vision has not been written down and made plain. And so we live our lives like we're coming up to a roundabout that we don't know what to do with. We keep starting and stopping. We keep starting and stopping. We keep getting in the middle and then stopping again. We keep signaling and then re-signal. Which way are you going? Are you going right or left? What are you doing? You don't know because it's unclear and it is slowing down the progress of your life. Visions are unclear in our life, I believe, when we try to take someone else's vision as our vision. I look at your vision and I go, I like that vision. That vision's good. That vision seems like it's working. They seem happy. That's got some nice building blocks too. I'm just gonna try and take that vision and I'm gonna make that my own vision. And we are inundated with pictures and snapshots of other people's visions. And we go, maybe I'll just take their vision and I'll make their vision my vision for my life. And look, I get it. I have a lot of friends who are doing incredible work for the kingdom of God. And it is easy to look at what they're doing and go, that looks good. Maybe I'll try that out. that looks like fun. Maybe I'll try out doing what they're doing. Maybe I'll just look and see that. But it's like David putting on Saul's armor. When you try to put on someone else's vision for their life and put it on your life, it doesn't fit right. It's awkward and it's inefficient and it won't work for you in the way that it works for them. And the reason you feel frustrated and the reason you feel behind and the reason you feel like you can't get any progress is because you keep looking at somebody else's vision and going, let me put this vision on, but it doesn't work for you in the way that it works for them. You need a slingshot kind of vision when they have a shield and armor kind of vision. You have to find the vision that God is speaking over your life. And the other reason that it doesn't work for you is because we try and rush receiving a vision. We want the vision to come to us now. Vision takes process. Vision takes digging out. Vision takes leaning into it, takes times of prayer and fasting that go, God, I'm going to seek you for the vision that you have over. God, what are you speaking to my life for now? God, what are you saying to me? We want to just Google search. We just want to jump into ChatGPT and like, what's a good vision for my life? And it'll spit it back out in 3 seconds. And you might get some nice sentences, but I'm telling you, that vision that you're gonna stand on is vision that has to be dug out of your life. Jump back one scripture into Habakkuk 2:1 and look what it says. It says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk said, I am taking watch. I'm gonna stand here in this place. It's a military term and a military position. It's not a passive standing like I'm just lingering and waiting. He's saying, I'm going to actively stand. I am going to actively remain in this place. Some translations say, I will wait to see what the Lord has to say to me. Some of you need to lean into this 7 days of prayer and fasting and wait to see what the Lord will say to you. You need to dig into, God, what is it that you are speaking over my life? That there is a processing that is happening in your life. There is a pressing that is happening in your life. And God is using this to bring to the surface of your life a vision that he has to speak. He says, I will stand my watch. I will wait. I will listen to what the Lord has to say to me. Not what the Lord has to say to you. Not what the Lord says to my neighbor. Not what the Lord says to my sister. Not what the Lord says to my cousins. What the Lord will say to me. Because he has a vision that he wants to speak over my life. And I'm gonna stand until I hear it. I'm gonna wait until I hear it. I'm gonna wait until the Lord speaks to me. And when the Lord speaks to me, that's when it goes to Habakkuk 2. He says, I'm gonna write that thing down. And I'm gonna make it clear. I'm gonna make it plain. I'm gonna make sure that it is readable. It's why on your declaration offering envelopes, which I hope you don't wait till Declaration Sunday to take. I hope you take one today and you leave it there and you sit with it and you go, God, what are you speaking over my life? Because I want to write down clearly the words that you have for my life. I want to write down clearly the vision that you have for my life. I want to write down clearly the thing that you're speaking over my life. Can I get Habakkuk 2 back again? Because then look what he says. After you write it down, you've listened, you've stood on your watch, you've heard what the Lord said to you, you wrote it down, you made it clear, and the Lord answers me, and then there's a so. So he may run who reads it. So he may run who reads it. There is a purpose for your vision. There is a purpose for what God is speaking over your life. Writing down the vision is not just to write it down. When it inserts that so there, it means that everything before what I'm getting ready to say was so that I could get to what I'm getting ready to say. I told you to write it down, and I told you to make it plain, not so you could sit and just look at the vision, not so you could tell everyone how well crafted your vision was, not so you could frame it and hang it up and be like, don't I have a good vision for my life? Have you seen my vision lately? It's here, and I read it every day, and it's here, and I quote it every day. No, the vision is there so that when you read it, you can run with it. When God speaks a vision over your life, it's so that you can write it, so that you can make it clear, and so that you can run with that thing. This is a season where we're about to run after everything that God has spoken over your life. This is a season where the things that heaven is declaring in the earth is about to be run by those who read it, who say, we've taken the time to stand on our watch, God. We've taken the time to seek your face, God. We've taken the time to hear what is it you're saying to me, and to hear and to write now. And now that I've heard it, and now that I've wrote it, and now that it's clear, I'm reading that thing, and I'm about to run with this vision. I'm gonna run to every highway, and I'm gonna run to every byway. I'm gonna run to every forgotten place, and I'm gonna tell them of the goodness of God. I'm gonna run after it with all of my heart. I'm gonna run after it with all of my passion. I'm gonna run after it with all of my strength, and with all of my might, and with all of my wisdom, and with all of my planning, and with all that I can find with myself to do. I will run and not grow weary. I will run through a truth. I'm gonna run after the prize that has been laid out before me. I'm gonna run the path that he has made me, because God spoke a vision over my life. And when God speaks a vision over your life, never once in scripture does it say to saunter after it. When God speaks something after your life, never once does it say, blow your way after what God has called you to. Never once in scripture does it say, if you can find enough time in your life, go after the thing. It says, run, run the race that has been given to you. Run in such a way to get a prize. God, I know that you've spoken over my life, and I'm going to run after this thing. It's a season to run. I'm gonna run after him. Run after him. Next week when we come together for Vision Sunday, Phil and I have some things that God has been speaking to us over the last several years about where our church is heading. We've been standing, and we've been waiting, and we've been listening, and we've been writing, and we've been trying to make it as clear as we know how, so that we can run after it. It's gonna be a significant day for our church. I want everyone who can to be here, to be part of it, because it takes readers who read it to run with the vision. But before we jump to next week, I want to pray for some people today who are saying, that's all fine and good, but God, what's the vision you have for my life? God, I don't know what you're speaking to me in this moment and in this season. Some things have happened that have created confusion. Some things have happened that make me feel uncertain. And if that's you and you're believing for clear vision, for fresh vision, for a declaration from heaven to come over your life. I just want you to lift your hand so we can pray for you right now. Because I believe between now and Declaration Sunday, that fresh vision is coming to your life. That fresh vision is coming to your life. Hands are up all over. I'm going to ask prayer partners to come to the front in a few minutes. I'm going to pray for you right now, but in a few minutes when we dismiss, if you want someone to just stand and touch and believe with you, you're welcome to come to the front. God, I thank you for those who are seeking after you. I speak over their lives that there is a clarity from heaven that is coming to them today. I speak that over these next 2 weeks, they would hear your voice so clearly. We speak against the confusion of the enemy. We speak against the lies of the enemy. We speak against the accusation of the enemy. And we declare that truth is coming into your heart, into your mind, into your life. I speak that the word of the Lord is being declared over your life and that fresh vision is coming to you. I see you writing it down in late hours and in early hours and making voice notes in the midst of your car and just God speaking and pouring out that he's refining and clarifying. Oh, I hear that so clearly. So many of you are like, I have this gist of what God is speaking, but he's going to refine and clarify over the next 2 weeks. And by the time